help us to commence this evening with hymn 886. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor that's free and full and flowing o'er. 886.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Paul's Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in any thing ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, who shall change our body, that it might be fashioned unto his, like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let us pray. Dear Lord, oh, we worship thee this night, but pray that we may not worship thee with self in view. We are only too conscious of our own condition, of our own place. But oh, there is a place beside thee, great God of heaven, whom thou hast provided. And O Lord, we have to pray out of self to Jesus lead, for and in us intercede. Lord, we come to thee, the sinner's friend, the repenting sinner's friend, the sorrowing sinner's friend, the friend of the helpless, a father of the fatherless, the everlasting Father. Thus we come to thee, O Lamb of God. And great God of heaven, may we behold there the wonders of thy fullness, that thou in thy internal mind and will, in union with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost, who did provide there the fullness of God for man. In their lost condition, Lord, thou art a saviour of the lost, but not a saviour of the righteous. Those that need no other righteousness, they've got it themselves. Lord, the dear apostle was one of those. He worked righteousness for heaven until thou didst meet him and show him. Oh, thou dost provide a righteousness for the poor and the needy. And thou dost answer their prayers. Thou dost regard the prayer of the destitute. So, dear Lord, whatever we may feel within, enable us to pray in public in that right way. Oh, that thou wouldst increase our faith. Lord, do grant that our soul may be led forth by the Spirit to the living waters of the gospel and to drink freely. The hindrance is within, the unbelief is within, the veil upon the heart is a reproach. Remove the veil, we may behold thee as dying for us. Or do confirm our interest in that finished work. Lord, O thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in. Our dear Lord, thou didst endure that curse. Thou hast God afflicted too. Nothing less than that would do. Ah, what a mercy the Son of God, bowing under the weight of the sins of the church. O Lord, these sacred matters that we might feel that thou didst bear my sin. These are delicate personal matters, but they are very vital, and that we pray that we may worship thee in wonder and love and in praise. So, dear Lord, do increase our faith. Help us to gird up the loins of our mind. Cast not away, therefore, thy confidence. Lord, it's a Holy Ghost confidence. Was there not the hour of rejoicing and the hour of believing? Oh, cast not away, therefore, thy confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Leave us not to deny what thou hast done. Do help us then, Lord, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to gird on our loins. And we think of those lines, gird on thy loins, Christian soldier. Lo, thy captain calls thee out. It is the fight of faith to the kingdom of heaven. Dear Lord Jesus, we have to say with Asaph so often, whom have I in heaven but thee. Thou art there interceding, and there is none upon earth I desire beside thee. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Afterward receive me to glory. Oh, are we being guided by thy counsel, by thy word? Oh, bring thy people home at last. But do lead us now to behold the glories of Emmanuel. Oh, dear Lord, that blessed humanity, your deity stooping in love and compassion to redeem. The one deserve the miracle of the work of grace. Do lead us, Lord, to the blessed footstool of Jesus, and give us to understand the very nature and blessing of prayer. Dear Lord, do grant that we may know the effectual blessing and life of the atonement at Calvary. Dear Lord, grant that we may know the wonders of that, and lead us, blessed Spirit, that we may see the safety of the covenant of grace. We may know, Lord, what it is, the sweetness of repentance and godly sorrow and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to realize that thou art leading us in the right way. Help us to recognize thy hand in the pathway, and help us to fall into thy hands in all thy sovereign dealings, in all the matters of our life, those personal, delicate matters of our life. Oh, do help us to trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Oh, do help us to know the fullness of God all in all in Jesus. Do help us to be thankful for what thou hast wrought for us. Dear Lord, do help us to lay passive and patient, that patient waiting for Jesus Christ, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Thus, dear Lord, do help us this evening hour, and grant a matter of spiritual worship in our heart. O Lord, that we have to pray for the instruction that thou didst give Moses, which is a gospel instruction for the church, the living church. Speak ye unto the rock, and it shall give his water. Dearest Lord, help us to understand the sweet nature of that truth, what it is to speak to God. Believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they had to say, yea, Lord, according to your faith, be it unto you. But we would see Jesus to know him as our Lord and Redeemer and our sins forgiven. We would see him as our sin bearer and behold them disappeared, lost forever by the glorious scapegoat, even our beloved Redeemer. Dear Lord, help us to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, to put our mouth in the dust and wait patiently for thee, and to be silent in every adversity, to not complain. Dear Lord Jesus, do remember us and grant us thy Spirit. We often men may wonder what the Holy Ghost is, the Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, is it not thy Spirit? May we be found in union with thee. Does not the Paraclete bring forth the Spirit of Christ into the soul of his redeemed? Bless this house of prayer. Remember the dear deacons, be gracious to them, the church, the congregation. Go before them in all things. Provide for them in all things. Be with their aged friends, those in the middle paths of life. Support, help, bless, undertake. Appear to our aged friends before they take that last step. We remember the Sunday school, our young men and women, the children. We go before them in life's journey, provide. And may they know thee at the throne of grace and discover thee. Dear Lord, remember each in mercy, bless the afflicted among them, those who have been in hospital and laid aside in afflictions. Be very gracious unto them. Grant those healing mercies according to thy goodness and thy grace. For them, may there be much prayer to plead thy grace, to plead thy promise, to plead thy word. Dear Lord, do bless Zion, bless thy servants in our own denomination, the editors of our magazines, the sectors of our societies. Let thy work appear. Holy Ghost, return. Bless thy one church through the earth in this land and in other lands. Bless the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Remember thy people through the earth in persecution, war, famine, poverty. Remember this guilty nation, have mercy on England, we cry. Open the eyes of our royal house and our leaders to their sin and shame, bring us as a nation to repentance. But in the most solemn and awful days, we have forsaken God. Thou hast left us to blind leaders in confusion. O Lord, bless our royal house, our Queen, this Jubilee year. We do thank thee for her. Now, Lord, we bless thee, praise thee for all thy mercies, all the abundance of provision and supply. And, dear Lord, undertake, we pray in the pathway, and we will be thankful for every mercy, every favour, every help. Abundance of help in the pathway, but all the glories of Christ, the open Bible, Christ the Word made flesh, the blood of the everlasting covenant, dear Lord, the glory of that covenant, that precious blood, all the resurrection. Lord, do make known this gospel sweetly to our hearts, and do help us to love thee, serve thee, fall down. And we think of the hymn writer's lines, larger communion let me prove with thee, blessed object of my love. But oh, for this no power have I, my strength is at thy feet to lie. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Come, come, Lord Jesus, meet the cases of the friends, those in need in the pathway. Thou knowest the trials, the loneliness, the watchings, the waitings. Thou knowest the afflictions, thou knowest the anxieties, and thou knowest the length of days and the length of time. Lord, in these sorrows, Lord, who set the captive souls at liberty, may we see no man only save Jesus. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake, amen.
Hymn 327. Whence do our mournful thoughts arise, and where's our courage fled? Has restless sin and raging hell struck all our comforts dead? 327.
In complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to the prophet Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, the last verse. Isaiah 40, the last verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verse 31, the last verse. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings and wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The Lord has provided a place and a means to wait upon him and that place, dear friends, is in his word and at the throne of grace, the exercise of soul. But we continue or think again of that word we read this morning. My soul, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. And David says, my soul, wait thou only upon God. That is the line I want to take to start with. Only upon God. There are many things man waits upon, many principles, but have we been led to wait only upon God through his blessed Son, and to wait for his appearing? The point is, friends, if we are right, will be led to wait for those things he has appointed to give. God in the covenant has declared in his word the blessings of heaven are lost. Before that on earth, the blessings of grace, the blessings of the knowledge of eternal life, the sweet forgiveness of sins, is appointed in the pathway, temporal mercies, answers to prayer, provisions in the journey. He's covenanted to grant help to his needy, waiting people. I've laid help upon one that is mighty. David meditated upon. I've chosen one from among the people. You see, God has provided that help. He's laid it on one that his people may draw. Now, dear friends, there is the means provided in waiting, in prayer and in the word, in supplication and exercise of soul. There is the waiting as we come to the worship of God in his house. There is the waiting in soul exercise at home. You know, the sweetness of the truth is, it's as we go about our daily work, our daily routine, to be waiting upon the dear Lord and to commune with him and speak to him and to look into his word and point to his word and point to his promise and pray to him and long for his blessing. You know, dear friends, every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. This may seem a mystery as to why it seems so important to speak of Calvary. But there, without that, without the sacrifice, without the Redeemer dying to satisfy justice, to bear our reproach, there can be no reconciliation with God. And therefore, we mention it so often, there is the glorious place of waiting in our soul's condition and sorrow upon the Lord to appear. Now, leaving that aside now, what are we waiting for? There may be those many experiences that you may go through, those changes in life. Jeremiah, in his lamentation, said, "The Lord is good to them that wait for him." He's good to them. Jeremiah, in his adversity, had that glimpse and that knowledge of faith. We think of the prophet again, as he says, "I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him." He's waiting under the hiding of the Lord's face. "I look for him." That's grace. There's no giving up. The Lord's hidden his face. There's no giving up. He's looking for him. This is the blessed prophet Isaiah. That was his experience. Also Micah, he says this concerning the solemn conditions in which he was prophesying of the time he was in and what will come. And there's only one thing he can do. He concludes, he says, "A man's enemies are the men of his own house." And you may feel that spiritually. Look at the enemy of unbelief. Look at it. Unbelief. Look at the enemy of blindness and ignorance to the Lord's sweet blessings of mercy to your heart, answers to prayer. How forgetful we are. How forgetful we are of God's mercy. Very forgetful, you know. "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." So how are we found considering this text? They that wait upon the Lord, there's blessings for them. They're going to renew their strength. Now, what is it we wait? We mentioned a few things this morning, but we won't go over the same ground. We'll try to avoid it. But you know those spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You know, dear friend, our help from the Lord comes from heaven. It comes from heaven. You only experience it on earth. There you are in your trial, in your lonely pathway. And there's that little help given. You're thankful. But you know, dear friend, it had to come from somewhere. It came from above. And it shows the Lord knew your case. It shows the Lord has taken notice of you. The Lord has heard you. He's laid help upon one that is mighty. You may be waiting for him to appear in the pathway. You may wait, but ought to wait with faith. I often quote this, and it's very true, you know. Mr. John Gosling at Maidstone used to say, and I was only a lad then, and I didn't appreciate him, I must confess, but I picked up one or two things just by natural memory, and they mean more now, but one was, unbelief is the cardinal sin. It is the cardinal, the foundation sin. They used to call the cardinal sin, the principal sin, unbelief. If you know your own heart and know your own nature, and behold how the Lord has dealt with you, you'll see it comes into everything. That there's always the doubting. You're not sure. Can the Lord really take notice of you? He sees you anyway. But is he looking on me in mercy? Soul, are you praying? That's the point. Are you praying? Are you praying to the God? Do you confess your sins? Do you weep? Do you read the word? And then you're saying, but my way is hid from the Lord. Unbelief, it's a veil. And I often quote this word, and it's in the context of Enoch. We have this, that Enoch walked with God. He pleased God. And then Paul says, without faith, it is possible to believe, it is possible to please, impossible to please him. Look how the Lord spoke to the comers, those that requested on a number of occasions, not every occasion, admittedly, but on a number of occasions, he questioned them. He questioned or told them, look at the man with the son. All things are possible to him that believeth. There was grace working in the poor man's heart. The Lord still had compassion upon him, but the man knew he'd come for this great blessing, and he was tried whether the Lord was willing to give it, because of probably his own sin, his own fear, his own case. How can the Lord take notice of me? And the blind men I quoted in prayer, believe ye that I'm able to do this? They answered, yea, Lord. He said, and I'm... friends, this is foundation scripture. According to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. Friend, it doesn't hinge on your faith. Faith is the gift of God. But dear friend, are we being led of the Spirit and taught of the means of salvation through faith, justification through faith? These all died in faith. The great blessings that faith brings. And, you know, the glory here, dear friends, is not the principle of faith. It's what faith beholds and discovers in the foundation love of God toward his chosen elect people. Have you been led there? Do you long to be led there? Now, these people that wait, waiting in prayer, waiting at the footstool, waiting long, waiting in exercise of soul, waiting for the living waters, waiting for the Lord to confirm the word, waiting for that second token, waiting to see whether the fleece is wet, and then perhaps you get the token. Is it going to be dry? Look at the compassion of God, as I mentioned that upon Gideon. He knew Gideon was afraid, still afraid after those many tokens, the reduction of his army. And he said, take Phurah, go down to the camp. And then they heard the conversation. At last, Gideon was strengthened. It took a long time. Look at the compassion of God. It might take a long time. You know, he doesn't despise us for our poverty. He doesn't despise his people for their poverty. He loves them. But he doesn't say, well, you can't help it. And he raises them out of that poverty of unbelief and draws them up to him, to the riches of his grace. The Lord may have compassion on us, our poverty, but he doesn't leave us there. He'll bring you up out of it to the glories, the fullness of his provision, his mercy. Now the promise is here, they that wait upon the Lord, and how the prophet here was speaking of the church, Jacob in tribulation, in sorrow, and fainting, and declaring he giveth power to these faint ones, to have no might, he increases strength, but he shows therefore the waiting by faith upon the Lord,
And the means provided in prayer, supplication, in the word, in Zion, in soul exercise, and waiting upon the glorious person of the Son of God. You know, that is the provision, not an unknown God. God made known, God with us, Emmanuel. This is a mercy, friends, tremendous mercy. You know, Christ, no wonder the hymn writer says, give me Christ or else I die. He says that these that wait, there's the promise. Friend, there's the promise here, shall renew their strength. It says a renewing. They've known it. Jacob. Look at the great blessings. Jacob is mentioned here. Why sayest thou Jacob? Well, though it speaks to the church, of course, bearing Jacob's name and Israel's name. You know, look at Jacob. There were those great blessings he had. There were those terrible downsittings. He seemed to go from one to another. No sooner he had the promise, he was tried. The Lord appeared to him in Laban's camp. And the Lord told him to leave Laban. And yet, the way he was, how he trembled. And there was the matter of Esau. There was the blessing of his children. There was the loss of Rachel. And then there was the sweet communion with Joseph. Then there was the loss of Joseph. The great blessing at Peniel. And then, the agony of the loss of his children. You know, the Lord was good. Oh, what can we say? You know, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We need strength, friends. This strength through grace, through faith, is called the strength of the Lord. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. It's a sovereign strength. It's a sovereign strength. Apportioned for your time, for your days. He's commanded it. It's not natural. We got natural strength, that's going to cease. This strength doesn't cease. Natural strength, natural vigour, of course it does. Affliction weakens, age weakens. And the older ones, not like you used to be, are you? You could run a mile at once. You'd probably still run 100 yards, but you'd be out of breath. You see, this is not a natural strength. This is a heavenly strength, a spiritual strength, friend, and it's manifest in a Jehovah Jesus. And there it is placed. And behold, dear friends, Emmanuel in his tribulation. Behold the Redeemer in his sorrow. Behold the Redeemer dying. Behold the Redeemer being weary, sitting on the well. Behold the dear Redeemer bearing the sins of his people. And how you long to know them. Are you waiting for this blessing? You may not. You may say, I want to feel those particular sins forgiven. Dear friend, I just take a venture. You long for the Lord to speak. May he speak to your heart. Keep asking him. He will answer. He answers prayer. He answers the prayer of the destitute. But to have a little glimpse, a little knowledge of Christ, a little blessing of Christ, there you will discover through the Spirit those sins put away. And not just some, but all. Let my soul live, that I shall praise thee. Here's the covenant promise, shall renew their strength. Strength for the day. Strength for the Lord's will. You're put to it, aren't you? Tribulation puts you to know, puts you hard to know that strength. Sorrow, you're put hard to the test to know that strength. Strength to continue, strength to be upheld, strength to stand firm. strength to continue. We think of, friend, the end of the journey. Are the horses wearing you? Are the chariots wearing you? What will you do in the day of death? You know, if we faint now, how shall we come to the end of the journey? Shall renew it. Shall renew their strength. You know, strength to fall into, we need grace and strength. You know, we often think if we say, we need grace to know the Lord. Friend, we need strength to continue in the Lord's will. A daily help for him to uphold. See, it speaks of a renewing day by day. Perhaps the Lord empties from vessel to vessel. It's a scriptural expression. He empties from vessel to vessel. There's a filling and there's an emptying. There's a filling, there's an emptying. And so life's journey goes on. Renew it. We don't want to speak theoretically, but it is a daily renewing. But it doesn't sometimes feel like that. It's a renewing through certain trials and sorrows. But oh, how does he renew? He sent his word and healed them. It's a blessed word that, you know. He sent his word and healed them. And now are ye clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. When the Lord confirms the word, you know, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee. See, I will. You know, dear friend, I'm not going to say bold things, but oh, the religion, the life of grace I want in the soul, it is to know my Redeemer, to help me, and to undertake for me. Hezekiah cried, O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Friend, and if he's given that word or a similar word, he will help you. But, oh, you have to feel what it is to be a nobody, a worm. Less than the least. You know, the apostle, less than the least of all saints. Now, come on, Paul. Oh, surely you're just saying nice things in the Bible, Paul. You can't be right. Dear friend, God forbid you should think it. However, I don't think Paul was less than the least of all saints. I think he was the greatest. But Paul didn't think so. And I'm not in Paul's shoes. It's a living experience. Worm Jacob. They that wait upon the Lord have waited for thy salvation. But they're waiting, you see, for that salvation to come, the living waters to flow, the Lord to bless, shall renew their strength. The word seems to point really to pathway. Not just pathway in itself, but the trials, afflictions, the Lord's dealings in the pathway, the blessings in the pathway, the journey of life. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. This may seem a strange expression, but it's a good one. If you haven't seen eagles, I'm sure you've seen buzzards mounting up and circling until they get specks. We see them at home. And I see them from my window. There they are, they're just going round, and suddenly they reappear. They seem to drop right down and do big sweeps. And they're lovely flat wings, big round wings. You know, but how easy. They rise right above it. Friend, they rise above. And it's a beautiful description. They shall rise up, those that wait upon the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord, waiting in his word, they shall rise up. Dear friend, waiting at the throne of grace. Friend, what do you behold in the throne of grace? What do you behold concerning Jesus? A fullness of love and mercy. A keeping. A covenant love. Immutability. Unchanging. What you hold in Christ. Holiness, righteousness, peace, deliverance, full assurance of faith. Where are they? You long for them. You long for them. If only the Lord would increase your faith, if only you had more spiritual confidence, if only you were helped and strengthened, if only you didn't give way to unbelief. Eternal love, eternal keeping, the promise sure, absolutely sure, heaven assured in Christ. But oh dear friends, these things seem to be far away, don't they? Dear Jacob, Jacob thought his way was hid from the Lord. He seemed he was a long way from those blessings. They didn't seem to be near him. But that's what you await. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a waiting. See, this Lord, we're not just waiting to see somebody, like an appointment. Don't know whether it be successful or not. Beloved friends, we're waiting upon the Lord God of heaven and earth, the one who laid down his life, one who groaned upon the tree, one who knows his people's sorrows, one who knows what it is to make his request to heaven, one who knows what it was when he was on earth to humble himself, have to wait upon the Lord, his Father. He had to wait upon his Father's will, you know. I know they were in union, but the Lamb of God in his humiliation, becoming his people's surety, he had to wait upon his Father in obedience to do his will. He came to do not his own will, but his Father's will. He declared it many times. And so he learned obedience. And what a mercy. There's your strength going to be drawn from there, you know. The life of Christ, the being of Christ, the grace of Christ, the doctrine of Christ. You know, thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Has the Lord wrought anything for you, friend? Strengthen it. Pray to him to strengthen it, to establish it. Here's the promise, they shall renew it. They shall renew it, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Now, this matter here again, this rising up, I think of those words, rise up my love, my fair one, come away. We think of that word in Peter, laid up in heaven for you. You know, that eternal rest. Where Jesus is. You know, what is laid up in heaven for us, friends? How you long to be assured that you will get there. Can I ask you a question? What think you of the dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus? Do you love him? Do you long for him? Does your soul wait for him? Oh, does your heart leap at his name? Dear friend, oh, to know him more. Oh, to see the Redeemer. How you wish you could just by faith have a little glimpse. I mean by faith, of course, not visions, but to be led in the Word of God and to have a little meditation and just see a sweet Redeemer, the Lamb of God, in agonies and blood for you. But to behold him risen, to know him as now reigning above. When John saw him, he fell at his feet as dead. He had the covenant promise made. Fear not, I am the first and the last. He fell at his feet as dead. How you long to have a little meditation. prepared in heaven for you. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, afterward receive me to glory. Rise up as wings as eagles. But the expression really means, dear friends, you tend to look at it as rising above the tribulation, rising above your sorrow, rising above your difficulties, rising above your unbelief. But how is that done, friends? It's as your soul knows the victories of the Redeemer. That's my strength, if I've got any. Is it yours? I'm only speaking what I know by experience. You know, what the Lord has wrought for us, what he's made known to us. We don't want a theory, do we? It won't get you to heaven. It's what the dear Lord... Do you view something? Is there something gloriously attractive? You can't tell what it is. But how your soul longs to behold him, to see him, to know his love and grace, to feel it, to believe. I'm not trying to make it sound easy, but we do need strength for our day. The appointed days of our life, we need strength for them every time, right down to the end of the... Thy God hath commanded it. They that wait shall renew it. They shall renew it. And dear friend, it will be found in Jesus alone, Jesus only, and in his word. And that word is the glory of Christ. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. What an attractive word. Oh, the simplicity, the childlike simplicity of the gospel. Christ said it personally. Jesus said it personally. Come unto me. Oh, are you coming, dear friends? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, my yoke. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. You know, it points to a prospect. For the troubled, tried Church of God, it points to a prospect. You know, these are they which have come out of great tribulation. Now, we're used to that word, aren't we? It's a sweet word. You think of that. I tell you what, friend, I don't know why you're like the same as me, but I sometimes only half read the Bible. I seem to overlook things. You behold the wonders of those with their garments white, reeds in their hand, their robes upon, praising God and so forth. And what a glorious... who are these arrayed in white apparel, cries John. It's a lovely chapter, you know. You know, there they are saying, blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honour, power, might be unto our God for ever and ever. I tell you what, I feel I need that on earth as well, you know, in a little measure. But in heaven... it will be free from all fear, all unbelief, all sorrow, all affliction. But in your heart, do you long to be able to say it now in tribulation? But what I was coming to was this. What are these arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? Sir, thou knowest, he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Now, you think, well, wash their robes. Well, long for that washing, long to feel it. You think, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Your soul longs for it. And then we overlook this. Great tribulation. Great tribulation. Look at the tribulation of unbelief. Look at the tribulation of affliction, of sorrow, of loss. But they wash their robes. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It's the word of the Lord, dear friends, you will rise up. Look at the man of Bethesda's pool. Those long years, 38 years. Friends, you know, the devil will tempt you sometimes and you feel, well, how could I wait that long? It was a divine appointment. You know, my own heart trembles in things at times. How can I keep waiting for the Lord? How can I wait for this promise to be fulfilled? How can that be? And you tremble, you think, I might be years in this. You know, the devil sows the doubt and the gloomiest scene. But you get a little rising up to the Lord Jesus Christ and his promise to feel that promise sure, to feel the grace sure, to know the love of God abounding in him, to know that. And then, dear friends, you won't be looking how long's the journey. You'll be thankful. You've risen up. You've risen above it. You've mounted above it. Above the affliction, above the trial. You might be in it, but your heart's not bowed down in it. It's strengthened. Strengthening what he said. So go home and pray the Lord's promise. Beat it out, the old saying was among the older generation. They used to go home and beat out the text. They may not have had a good hearing. They may have gone to chapel, had nothing. But the text was good. The word was good. Whether they got on with the minister, they didn't matter. There was the word of God. That was the word for today. And they went home and they beat it out. They beat it out. How they wept before the Lord. Plead what he has said. Plead what he has done. Plead his fullness. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Pilgrim, you're not on the journey alone, you know. Pilgrims are called to a journey. It's called a pilgrimage. It's called the narrow way. It's the King's highway to heaven, the King's highway to Zion. You know, there is a way. You say, how can I know his way? How can I know the way? Was it Thomas said, how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the life, the truth. But the glorious thing here, dear friend, is if you've been called to follow the Lord and to be a pilgrim, an heir of glory, the Lord has gone in the way before you. Ever remember that? You're not alone. The angel of his presence is with all his dear people. There is, of course, the doctrine, which is probably not pondered on most, but it is a reality. His people have an angel. I know the Roman Catholics make big issue on it, and they make the saints as if they're with God's people, but we'll leave that one aside. He does send his angel to be with his people. It's his presence, it's the Holy Ghost, the omnipresence of the Holy Ghost. But you know, the point I want to say, the Lord has gone before his people to heaven. His track I see, and way pursue the narrow way, till him I view. It's gone before you. Dear friend, the Lord has gone before his people in the pathway of tribulation. You say, well, how can he go on in my particular path? That's ridiculous to even commonly think about it. Beloved friend, his eye has appointed your days. The infinite God has appointed man's days and all those matters that pertain to us. I will go before thee, make the crooked places straight. Now, have you proved it? I ask one or two of you, have you proved the Lord has gone before you? In days past, make the crooked places straight, break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron, where they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Friend, the weariness of prayer exercise, the fainting of soul, but you know, to behold Jesus, I am the way. To know my Jesus crucified, by far excels all things beside. All earthly gain I count but loss, and glory in my Saviour's cross. To know him, we read, did we not? Paul considered himself not to have apprehended, but he pressed. You think of the Apostle Paul. Would you like his blessings? Friend, he wasn't content there. He pressed. Pressed to heaven. Pressed to him. We seem almost at times to be aiming for a great blessing on earth. We're pressing for heaven. And if you get that singleness of iron heart to press to heaven, to press to where he is, you'll have some blessings on earth, bigger ones than ever you expected. But all the time you're looking for something below, you're looking in the wrong direction. It's where he is now in glory. And he sends the blessing down. He sends the blessing down from heaven. Jesus set before us in the way. Press toward the mark. That's grace. Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A glorious prize. And called to heaven at last to be with Christ, which is... The dear apostle, he found himself, he hadn't apprehended that which he is apprehended of God for. But for forsaking those things which are behind, don't we cling to them? Friends, you're going to leave them one day. We're going to leave them behind. If only we realised it. But we don't, you know. We're going to leave them behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Looking to those things which are before. I press toward the mark. How does it find us? You know, therein only is we see the way the Lord has gone. And to prepare us. And to know his mercy and grace. There alone will we mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. I suppose a simple illustration would be a man that was ready to faint and said he can't continue, and just exhausted in exhaustion fell down. And he said, and as if one called and said, look, it's just there. Look round that corner, and there's your goal, there's your prize. Friend, he'd find strength to go up. He'd get off his knees, exhausted, and he'd have what he wanted. He was only 100 yards away, he didn't realise. But you say, well, that's a bit of a pointless... No, friends, it isn't. The Lord is nigh thee. Even in thy heart, the word is nigh thee. Even in thy heart, the word of faith. The word of faith. Dear friend who believe what God has done, I think of the words of Jehoshaphat to the people, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, believe his prophets, his promises, words, so shall you prosper. Friend, that's not a general believing, it's not just the church believing in God, we all believe in God, but personally, or to rejoice in what he's done for you. Friend, there may be someone here who knows the Lord has spoken and helped them. How forgetful. Rejoice in it, friend. Can you still rejoice in those old promises? When they come fresh, you will. It's not eating yesterday's manna. You can't do that. but it's the same manna and the same promise and the same comfort. What a mercy to realise the Lord has been with you. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, but you're pressing to him for more. Well, I will leave it now. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. May he help us to run the heavenly race. They shall see his face, his name shall be in their foreheads. They shall walk with me in white. Oh, dear friend, it's the promise week. Taste. I love that expression. Oh, taste and see the Lord is gracious. See the savour. There is a tasting is to discover the goodness or the badness of the food, isn't it? Oh, taste and see. See how good. Eat, feed on the word, feed on the grace. And the sweetness will do thee good and strengthen thine heart. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Run. Run, friend. And what did I could linger here, but I want to close. The apostle spoke of that running, didn't he? He kept under his body. You wouldn't run in a race. We've got the Olympic Games. I'm not interested in it at all, but I happen to realise, of course, it is this year. And I'm not at all interested in it. In fact, what a solemn thing it is to this country, but we'll leave that aside. It's an awful thing to behold. You know, dear friends, but some of those runners, you don't think they're going to start running around. What an idiot it would be if someone put a rucksack on his back with boulders in it and then tried to run. He wouldn't get anywhere, would he? He might sprint above the others because the weight will drag him down and they'll overtake him. So are those things which are inconvenient. Sorrow those earthly attractions, friends. Paul had to keep under his body. And it's a blessed principle. He had to lay aside every weight. Lay aside every weight. And the sin which does so easily beset us. How? Looking unto Jesus. You never will. Except you look unto Jesus. You think you can. You think you can't look to Jesus till you laid it aside. Well, what I'm telling you is you won't lay it aside until you look to Jesus. Under the law, we get it the wrong way round. Under the gospel, it gives us liberty. And we never will lay aside those weights till we behold the glories of the Lamb. And then we drop them like a stone, glad to be gone. Run and not be weary. Walk and not faint.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £685, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Riddell next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hold their TBS service on Wednesday evening, and Fenstaten anniversary service is on Saturday. Let us close with hymn number 3. God is my everlasting King, God is my strength and I will sing. His power upholds my feeble frame, and I'm victorious through his name. Hymn number 3.
And bless thy word. Forgive any utterance amiss. Convey us to our places in safety and peace. We ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.